Welcome to the November 18th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is presented by Jason Cogdell and is entitled, Remember and Be Thankful. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
That sounds good. My name is Jason Cogdell. I'm a minister of senior adults and congregational care, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to College Park this morning. I hope everyone is doing well on this beautiful November Sunday morning, and Thanksgiving week has started, and it's good to be in worship. You'll see that our chairs up here are a little more empty than they usually are, but I bring greetings from our pastor and also Jeff. Raymond has led a group down to Watermark this morning, some of the deacons and some others who wanted to go. Some of you may know that Watermark is a new church plant down in Troutman near Lake Norman that Joel Settle, who's been involved with our church before and who was involved in the church plant that is now the Summit in Kernersville. Joel has started that church down at Troutman at Watermark Church, and our church has been trying to help them through prayer, through some other ways, financially and whatnot. And Raymond has led a group down there to be there and worship with them this morning. So that's where they are, and hopefully they'll have a great Sunday at Watermark. But I wanted to bring you greetings from Raymond. Jeff is with our youth. We've got a couple of rows that are a little more empty than normal down here down front. Our youth are at Ridgecrest this weekend for the annual PMBA Associational Fall Retreat. Yeah, it's like, no offense, guys. We got some stand-in youth down here in the form of the channels. Our youth are at the PMBA Associational Fall Retreat. This is a Friday through Sunday weekend every year where they go to Ridgecrest and have Bible study and worship and fellowship. So right about now, our youth are worshiping at Ridgecrest this morning under the big cross on top of the mountain. So we Mary and I haven't heard any reports, so we take that as a good sign of how things are going at Ridgecrest. We want to let you know where they are. During this brief time of announcements that we have before worship, I'd like to first recognize Mary Nail for an announcement.
Good morning. She's back with the cookbooks. I want to thank you for the very fine comments that you have shared with me about the cookbooks, but I'd like for you to know that there are some other people that have been very busy on this committee and like for you to have a chance to see who they are. They don't know I'm doing this, but Cecilia Cobble, Brenda Hunt, not Wanda. Brenda. If y'all stay in, June Crabb, Carolyn Matthews, I just saw her walk out, and I don't think Julie Blink is here today, but these are the women who have worked so hard on this cookbook, and I am so thankful to have them with us. Now you have an opportunity to be a part of this in another way. You submitted recipes, you ordered cookbooks, and now I'd like for you to take your cookbook with you when you go to your job or when you're visiting with friends and share it with them that perhaps they might want to buy some and let them know that these proceeds from the cookbooks are going to help our young folks here at College Park. So if you have not picked up your cookbooks that you pre-ordered or if you find that now looking at them you need to buy more, there will be someone in Smith Hall after the service today and on Wednesday evenings to help you with your purchases. And if you need to have a lot of them carried out, we can do that too. So take a look at the cookbook if you haven't had a time. And thank you for all your help.
Thank you, Mary Nell. A couple of notes about this week. You'll see the opportunities for the week listed on the backside of your order of worship. Seeing it as it is Thanksgiving week, we will have our Thanksgiving Eve service after the Wednesday night meal. So that service will be at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And then on Thursday and Friday, our church office will be closed. A brief announcement about a memorial service that will take place here in the sanctuary tomorrow. Many of you may know that on Thursday afternoon, Verna Sorensen passed away. And the memorial service for Verna will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock here at College Park. The visitation is tonight at Vogler's on Rinalda Road from 6:30 to 8:30. So I want to let you know about those arrangements for the Sorensen family. I'd like to take this time to say a very special word of welcome to our visitors. It's good to see some new faces there and some faces I recognize that are visiting with us this morning. Good to have you here. Our ushers are coming down the aisles right now, and if you are a visitor, if you would just lift up your hand just high enough for them to see, we've got a packet of information that we'd like to give you that includes a letter from our pastor and some other information about the ministries and opportunities of College Park and what we're all about. But most importantly, I just want to tell you we appreciate you being with us today and hope that you will be uplifted by worship. It is good to be in worship. This day is the first day of the week, and this week is Thanksgiving week. So Thanksgiving starts today. And as we enter a time of worship, I'd invite you to stand and share with me in the invitation to share in worship, as printed in your bulletins. Today's invitation to share in worship comes from Psalm 100. May we read responsively. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God.
It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
Still and know that He is faithful. still and know that He is God. Be still and know He is the Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart above. Beating for His little ones, calling each of us to come. Be still, be still.
Our Father, as we come before You this morning, Lord, help us to be still. Lord, help us to quiet our hearts so that we might hear Your Spirit speak this morning. Lord, let the words that we sing, the words that are spoken in worship, be the words that You sing and speak through us. Lord, in this time of stillness, help us to know You more. We thank You so much for Your presence here. We praise You for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, for all those things that You have done and those that You have yet to do. For those this morning, we are truly thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
morning. We have three scripture passages this morning. The first is Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. Please read with me. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad, rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. But he who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. Then from Luke, 21st chapter, verses 5 through 19. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." And then in 2 Thessalonians, 3rd chapter, verses 6 through 13. "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we did not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right." May the Lord bless the reading of this word.
Let us pray. dear Lord, for the beauty of this earth and your creation, for the opportunity to be here, the opportunity to know you and pray to you, we give thanks. Lord, on this week that begins a special week dedicated to Thanksgiving, we thank you for the opportunity to recognize our blessings and to bring those before you, since you are the reason for our blessings. You are the reason for everything. Lord, we thank you that among your many blessings that we can be thankful for is your promise to remain with us and to be present with us on our good days, on our bad days, and our in-between days. Lord, as you know better than we do, many among us have significant need. Those all around us are hurting in different ways, whether they show it or not. Lord, we thank you for being with those people and helping them to feel your abiding presence and help them to feel that a little bit more every day so that they can be strengthened and affirmed by your love. Lord, this week, help us to have full hearts, to have clear eyes and open ears, to be perceptive about what you're doing in our lives, what you have done in our lives in the past, what you're doing now, and the work that's continuing in us, so that we may give thanks to you, that we may be energized and renewed to have a greater energy to serve you, and also a greater energy to serve others. Help our thanksgiving and our gratitude be part of who we are and be so evident that others see it in us and that they are helped by that. Lord, for those who are hurting, we lift them up in prayer to you. You are their comfort. You are their aid. You are everything that we need. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your presence. Lord, hear our prayers today and this week as we lift up our thanksgiving to you. Amen.
Dear God, as we prepare for this special time of Thanksgiving, we thank you for this group of your children who are gathered here to worship as College Park Baptist Church. We thank you also for the privilege of gathering in this place to worship you. We thank you for our Baptist leaders who contributed to the formation of this church, along with a few devoted people. May we follow their example, as well as that of the early Christians, in creating places in which your children may worship you. As we do your work in this world, let us not be so consumed with the details of daily life and earthly problems that we fail to do those things you would have us do. May we remember that Christ told Peter to feed his lambs, to tend his sheep, and to feed his sheep. College Park members attempt to follow these injunctions in many ways. May we continue to seek new and better ways to do this. May we not find our current financial situation something to be proud of and begin to rest on our accomplishments. Help us to look rather at the need to intensify our efforts so that we may truly do thy will. As the denomination through which this church was founded suffers from much turmoil and on the ways in which we worship thee, which we fear are being restricted, may we remember that we are all your children and that all are welcome at Christ's tables. In thy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Thanksgiving is upon us. It's Thanksgiving week, and I don't know about you, but I love Thanksgiving. It's a great holiday. Nice and simple, basic, easy to understand, and full of a lot of good things. For me, Thanksgiving, the arrival of Thanksgiving brings forth a number of thoughts and memories. Some are of simple things. Turkey, football, time off work, or time away from school, much needed vacation, and hopefully some relaxation. Also, thoughts of some important things. Time with family and friends. Memories of past Thanksgivings and memories of time with family and friends who are no longer with us. Sometimes even humorous memories of Thanksgiving. And yes, I do happen to have a few of those. Maybe not as good as the bath mat, but Thanksgiving is definitely turkey time, and about this time, a couple of days before Thanksgiving, we're starting to think, what are we going to have for Thanksgiving, and what's going to be our main meal? And I'm not much of a cook, but I know that preparing a turkey is a big deal, and it takes a long time and a lot of work, and that's what's before us this week. But it's not an easy thing. It's not an exact science either. And our family experienced a bizarre 2-year stretch just 5 or 6 years ago where the turkeys got the better of us. And the first year, we're at my grandmother's house, and she had worked so hard the day before Thanksgiving preparing this turkey, getting it ready to cook, doing all the trimmings. I don't even know what they all are, but I know she had labored, and she was just really intent on this turkey being perfect. And so she had spent all day Wednesday, or a good bit of the day, preparing food, and a big part of this was working with the turkey. So she had it all ready, and the plan was Wednesday night, get the turkey ready and put it in the oven, let it cook through the night, and then, since it takes so long, 10 hours or whatever, to cook some of these turkeys, cook it through the night, and then in the morning the turkey's going to be ready, we can baste it, it's ready to go. We have 20, 25 members of our large family coming in, the turkey's going to be just right. Only the next morning, after she prepared the turkey, put the turkey in the oven, got up the next morning to find out the turkey wasn't in the oven. And the turkey had been removed from the oven, either on its own accord or with the help of someone else. And it wasn't that she forgot to put it in. In fact, the turkey wasn't even where she sat the turkey before she put it in, but the turkey was out of the oven, completely uncooked, and she was horrified because the family's coming in just a couple of hours. Now, what happened to that turkey? We don't know. As hard as she worked on it, surely it was dead, and it didn't make it out on its own. The more likely explanation was that my grandfather, who was not especially well at the time and who was prone to walking around during the night and getting involved with whatever he could, had noticed that the turkey was in the oven and that it was cooking, so he may have removed it. We did find out that you can get sliced turkey on Thanksgiving morning if you have to. But unfortunately, it was turkey 1, family 0. So the next year, my mom thought she'd give my grandmother a break from slaving over the Thanksgiving meal, so we had turkey at my parents' house. My mom in charge of preparing the turkey, and so this time she worked hard on it to get the turkey just right. Worked on it the day before, cooked it. This one actually, stayed in the oven the whole time. Was prepared, just going to be just right. And at 10 or 11 on Thanksgiving morning before our noon meal, turkey comes out of the oven and it explodes. Turkey juice all over it, everywhere. And another turkey that's no good. So turkey 2, family 0. We have gotten a little bit better at that. I know some of you thinking, you hopefully went to K&W the next year. Ham, yeah. But those are some amusing memories. And even though we lost the turkeys both of those years, and I'm sure they would have been good, the humor and the joy that we get out of sharing those stories and laughing about it and my mom's reaction to that turkey exploding and all those things, and we've gotten far more fun and joy out of that than we ever could have had eating that turkey, no matter how good it would have been. What are your thoughts and memories of Thanksgiving? It's a good time to look back. I'm sure you have many, many wonderful memories. And whatever your thoughts are, however funny your stories are, or however sad some of the memories are for the people that you miss and you wish would be here to spend Thanksgiving with you this week, it's good to share in the spirit of Thanksgiving. The Bible gives us this joyful affirmation that relates to Thanksgiving. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And indeed it is. And how thankful I am and you are for the things that God has done for us that make this a very special and meaningful week. Among holidays, Thanksgiving is very unique. It stands by itself. It's completely simple and basic. It celebrates no battle. It remembers no birthday, honors no patriot, recalls no historic moment. It's just a pure and simple holiday built around exactly what the word says. It's a holiday of peace, an act of gratitude, and a powerful reminder to us that God has not failed. He has done what He has promised us. And on Thanksgiving, and today and this week as we prepare for Thanksgiving, we're reminded of Jesus and His words, "Man must not live on bread alone." I believe that to be thankful and to truly experience Thanksgiving the way that God calls us to, that we have to look back and remember. It's nice to live in the present most of the time, but sometimes we have to look back and remember to really understand, especially on Thanksgiving, what the significance is, what God has done for us, and what He means in our lives. As we turn to the scripture for this morning, scripture lesson, which comes from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning in verse 11, a brief word of background. The year is 1250 B.C., Moses, the great servant leader of God, has led the children of Israel through the wilderness, through 40 years of wandering to get to the promised land. And now they're at Mount Nebo. They are at the border of the covenant land. They can see the covenant land. It's time to leave Mount Nebo, cross the mountain, go into the promised land. And Moses is there with his people. Moses is 120 years old. But he's still a strong and brave warrior, still a man of God. The scripture tells us about Moses that even at 120 years old, his eye is not dim, nor his natural force abated. This man had the power of the Lord in him, and it was keeping him young. But Moses was at the end of his journey, because he was not going to cross over with the people into the promised land. Think about Moses and what he must have felt. He had made it all this way. He had had communion with God. He had been commanded of God what to do. Now he's standing at Mount Nebo on the brink of the promised land. But this was the end of his journey. And it was time to send the people on. What would you have felt like if you're Moses? And then what would you say? What kind of wisdom would you share? Deuteronomy includes, a large part of Deuteronomy are the farewell speeches of Moses as he shared his wisdom with the people and his commands for sending him on into the promised land. This is Moses' second farewell speech that we read a portion of in Deuteronomy 8. Listen to the message from Moses and listen to the warnings about the dangers that are not only dangers for the people of Israel, but also for us. From Deuteronomy, and I'll actually start in verse 10 instead of 11. "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today.
If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Those are the words of Moses to the people. I bet that everybody in here has heard at least one graduation speech. Some of you probably heard 100. And some of them were probably good, and some of them were probably great, and some of them somewhere in between. I've heard a lot myself. And 99% of the graduation speeches I've heard had a similar theme. No matter how well done or not well done they were, they had a similar theme. Graduates, look at your future. Think about your future. That phrase that we all like to laugh about. Your future is ahead of you. Graduates, think about you. Be excited about what's coming up. You know, take hold of the opportunity. You can be successful if you remain committed and do this and this and this. That's the common theme behind most graduation speeches. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But I've often wondered, you know what? It would be powerful and meaningful for someone to do a graduation speech that had absolutely nothing to do with looking ahead. And the graduation speech was about graduates. Stop. Don't think about tomorrow. Let's look back. How did you get here today? What has your family done for you? What have your friends done for you? What have your teachers done for you that helped get you here today? What has God done for you? Remember that. Mark it down. Remember it in your heart so that you can take that wherever you go. And if you have that kind of encouragement, that can make a difference. If you look back and remember. The words of Moses are almost like a graduation speech. They're almost like the speech of a parent sending a child off to school or off into the military or off to live far away. Those words of Moses, be careful that you do not forget. And also remember. Lessons to take heart and trust as you go forward and to carry the Spirit of God with you without forgetting where you came from. Parents, you've said that probably 100 times. Remember who you are. Remember where you came from. Now, this story about the people at Mount Nebo, is this relevant to us today in 2007 at Thanksgiving? Absolutely. We live in the most prosperous and blessed country that has ever existed. Like the people of Israel, we have been given prosperity. We have been given an abundance. But with that abundance and with that prosperity, do we live as if God is the source of life? Do we live acknowledging that He is the reason for all of this? In our world, the main tendency is to be complacent, is to take prosperity for granted, take comfort for granted, and to become complacent. Most of the time, in our world, the authority of God and the leadership of God is replaced by the authority of the individual who says, I can do things my own way. God, yeah, I believe in God. God is good. God is kind of a nice bonus. I can do it myself, and God will help me along the way, but I can do it. That's the temptation, for us to be proud, to be self-sufficient. I can do it on my own. God, help me execute my plan. And when we do that, we forget God, and we don't acknowledge the true power and authority of God. We rely on ourselves, give ourselves credit for what we're doing. It would seem impossible for us to forget God, wouldn't it? Does that seem impossible for us to just forget God altogether? Well, it's not impossible because we do it too often. It happened with the Israelites. The reason it is not impossible for us to forget God, the reason that is a meaningful danger to us, is that we humans have short memories. Very short memories. How short? There's a story that comes after the scripture we just read was from Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 9 contains a story that is a perfect example of how short our memory can be. Do you remember the story of the golden calf and what happened with the golden calf? When Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God, scripture tells us he was gone for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, at some point after he left, we don't know how long, the people, They just went away from what they were doing. Their memory was so short that they said, you know, Moses is gone. What are we going to do? So they just panicked and went in a different direction. They built a golden calf, an idol, and begin using the golden calf as an idol for worship. Now, think about what God has done for these people. Led them out of bondage, has been with them throughout this time during the wilderness, and it takes less than 40 days to forget that and to go away from God. My son is almost 3 years old, and one of my favorite things that he says, and he's kind of picked this up along the way, is, "Are you serious?" And there's nothing like hearing him say, "Daddy, are you serious?" I mean, don't you think that's what Moses said when he got back from the mountain? "Are you serious?" I don't know how that translates into ancient Hebrew. But are you serious? What the Lord has done for you? He stayed with you all these days. He gave you manna in the desert so you could survive and make it to this point. I'm off with the Lord receiving the Ten Commandments to help share with you how to live. And you turn away from God. How short our memories can be. I wonder what Moses' reaction was. Thankfully, the people were able to get back on track due to a merciful, forgiving God. Moses warned his people, "Surely you will be lost and you will suffer if you forget the Lord and turn away from Him. Be careful, be careful." That was part of Moses' speech. As we consider this scripture and the story of Moses, the people on the brink of the Promised Land, I see several different important reminders as we begin Thanksgiving and start thinking about what this week has in store for us. The first is, let us not forget what the Lord has done for us. Let us not forget that. Let us not have short memories when it comes to what the Lord has done for us and how He has sustained us in our lives. You have to start with the big thing. He's freed us from sin. He's given us the ultimate gift. And it all starts right there. The gift of eternal life. Taking us, sinners, and allowing us to have the opportunity to live forever in communion with Him. That's got to be the big thing. We got to start there. He's also rescued us from the finality of the grave. As part of eternal life, He has made it so that for us there is no true death. And isn't that a great place to start on Thanksgiving? That the grave will not hold us and that we have life with Him beyond life here. He has blessed us at the beginning because we are His creation. He has made us in His image. He has blessed us at the end by the fact that our life here is not the end of our journey. And He's also blessed us along the way and in the middle by sustaining us with His grace, by being with us during difficult times. For the people of Israel, 40 years in the wilderness, crisis of belief, rebellion, hunger, pain, God remained with them and He stayed true to His promise. For us, trials in our lives, loss, pain, uncertainty, difficulty, God is staying true to His promise. There are not many promises in this life we can count on that are just sure, absolute certainties. But God's promises to love us and to be present with us are two promises that we can count on. And in hard times, we can turn to Him, trust Him, trust Jesus, that He will remain faithful to us and that His plan will outdo our plan. That's a gift to be thankful for. So let us remember what God has done for us and what He has taught us. The second reminder is for us not to forget what other people have done for us. Because as part of our lives, God has blessed us by putting people in our lives that show us love and encouragement. Who has helped you? Who has encouraged you along your journey? Could we possibly even list all the things that people have done for us through the years? Someone gave birth to us and fed us and gave us a bed to sleep in and clothes to wear. Someone may have spanked our bottom at some point and helped teach us right and wrong and teach us about the world, teach us about God and about Jesus and about how to pray and go to church. Someone taught us to read. Someone taught us to bait a hook or throw a ball. Someone fought in wars so that we could have freedom and that our nation would have the level of prosperity and freedom that it has. Someone helped us in school, helped us get a job. Someone lent a helping hand to us when we were having a tough time. and when we really needed some support, they stepped out of their comfort zone and helped us. And you know this as well as I do. It is an absolute blessing to be around people who understand what other people have done for them. If you're ever around anyone who seems to have forgotten what other people have done for them, that's not much fun. Someone with a short memory. But people who remember what other people have done for them and who remember how they have been blessed by God through other people, that is absolutely contagious. And it is so much fun to be around those people because they encourage you, they lift you up, and they inspire you to say, if that person has got that kind of energy and passion for other people and for God, I better get busy. And like the passage Rick read from 2 Thessalonians, I better not be idle because God's calling me to more than that. Who are you thankful for? This is a great week to think about that. And if you have the opportunity, let that person know. Let that person know. Encourage them so that they may continue with their gifts. Let us remember what others have done for us. A final reminder, and a category that we don't often think about, is for us not to forget to be thankful for the things that we can't afford, and not to forget to be thankful for the things that we don't need. What do I mean by that? Our world measures nearly everything in resources and hard data, hard numbers. What do you have? It can be measured. What do you need? It can be measured. What do you want? It can be measured. And sometimes we can fall into the trap, even in thinking about blessings, we can think about blessings. Let me think about my tangible blessings. Let me think about my food, the people that I can identify, the clothes that I have, the resources that I have. We can get caught up in thinking about just the things that we can count and the things that we can touch. But sometimes it's the things that we can't count and that we can't touch that make the difference in our lives, and they're very special gifts from God that require thanksgiving. Such as a smile from a child, a hug from a friend on a tough day, the view that we've seen recently with the beautiful fall, the trees going down. You cannot possibly drive down Rinalda Road or Silas Creek and look at those trees without thinking that God created this, and this is absolutely beautiful. I have a poem this is a very old poem. It's at least 40 years old because the copy of a newspaper cutout I have is from the 60s. It's written anonymously, but it's a beautiful poem. It's called Thankfulness for What You Could Not Afford. Suppose God charged us for the rain, or put a price on a songbird's strain of music the dawn missed on the plain. How much would autumn landscapes cost, or a window etched with winter's frost, and the rainbow's glory so quickly lost? Suppose that people had to pay to see the sunset's crimson play and the magic stars on the Milky Way. Suppose it was 50 cents a night to watch the pale moon's silvery light, or watch the gull in graceful flight. How much, I wonder, would it be worth to smell the good brown fragrant earth in spring, the miracle of birth? How much do you think people would pay for a baby's laugh at the close of the day? Suppose God charged us for them, I say. Suppose we paid to look at the hills for the rippling mountain rills, or the mating song of the whippoorwills, or the curving breakers of the sea, for grace and beauty and majesty, and all these things He gives us for free. Let us be thankful for the things that we could not afford, no matter how much that we had. Let's also be thankful to God for the things that are available to us, but that we don't need. We don't need everything in this world to make sense. We don't need an explanation. We just need to know that God is in control. There are plenty of things that we can see and touch in this world that we don't need. Drugs and other things that would only hurt our bodies, that we could spend time going after, trying to procure these possessions, but we don't need them. And you can think of more examples than I can. The things in this world that we don't need. Give thanks to God that for the things we don't need and the ability to see what we don't need. Thankfully, we don't need to be in the dark about who cares about us. Because even when we're lonely, even when we're struggling and we feel alone here, there is someone who has promised us that He will be with us. He will watch over us. Thanks to God that the only loneliness we'll know is earthly loneliness, but not eternal loneliness. Life is so much more than blessings that can be easily counted and touched and written down. And God is good to bestow these blessings upon us. And it's this kind of blessing and this kind of gift from God that bring us the greatest joy that we can be thankful for. As we prepare for Thanksgiving this week and begin a very meaningful week, and hopefully one that will be very blessed for you, let us remember what the Lord has done for us. Let us remember what other people have done for us. And let us remember to be thankful to God for the gifts that we cannot afford and the gifts that we do not need. Let us remember and be thankful. It is this kind of attitude that will help us to serve the Lord with the kind of attitude that He calls us to have to fulfill what He has created us to do. In closing, I share a word of Scripture from Revelation. Revelation 7, 9 through 12. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." We're going to sing hymn number 643, Fruit of All Creation. And as we sing, I want you to know that the altars are open. If you wish to share a prayer of thanksgiving during the hymn, you're welcome to come forward and do so. I'll also be down front. And if there's a recommitment that you would like to make, or something that you would like, some kind of commitment that you would like to make this morning, feel free to come down. Hymn number 643. Thanks for being here today. Give thanks for you and what God is doing in your life and will continue to do. Hope that this is a wonderful week for you, containing with many blessings. Sharing a benediction before we close. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house to worship today. Lift up a prayer on behalf of each person here, Lord, that you would guide them and direct them this week, that you would lead them in a communion of thanksgiving, So I said this week is just as absolutely meaningful and special and rewarding as it can be. Lord, just help us to be thankful this week. Help us to go from this place with You a part of what we're doing each and every minute. And help us to act for You. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.